everyone. You're listening to BBS Radio with Growing Up Indigo, and my name is Adina. And today, right before we started the show today, I stopped and I asked that I speak from my heart and that I actually don't even think about what I say because it's important about the things I say today. So I just wanted to let you know that it's important to forgive. And I have a lot to say about that. Forgive everyone everything. Forgive everyone everything. There's this show on OWN that I've been carefully avoiding for years. You know, that woman who seems to be so unbelievably powerful in healing other people. She just kind of makes Oprah look like a Girl Scout cookie girl because she's got that like amazing, powerful energy packed in that little body. I see the commercials like all the time and I always stay far away from it because the commercials are like she's reaching deep into somebody's soul and pulling out, you know, all that kind of disease. And every time I look at the commercial, and I always have this sound down because I think, oh, great, there goes my fifth round in therapy. You know, I know she's going to like take everything I've put to rest and bring it all back again. But I decided it was just about 3 weeks ago that I wanted to watch an episode. The timing of our lives is unbelievable. Because I've never watched her before. And it was about 3 weeks ago when I saw an episode. And it was gut-wrenching. It was about a family of sisters and a mom that had amazingly heartbreak, betrayal and dysfunction and all sorts of things going on. And she... just, you know, no matter what they said to her or to each other, she would hold them. They could curse at her. They could do whatever they wanted to do to her. And she would just hold them and say, that's right, baby. That's right, baby. You get it out. You get it out. And she started them on the road to healing. So it was just very, very heavy for me. And it was really, really important. And then at the same time, there was a reporter, and his name is Keith Long, and he had put in some information and an article about, don't freak out here, about one of the most controversial cases in our history, the 21st century, Casey Anthony, which I really, this is very odd. Number one, if anyone knows 10% about me, they know that I'm really not a judgmental person. You can do what you want. I have one thing that drives me insane, that makes me crazy. And that one thing is kids, children. Probably because I waited a very long time to bring a child into the world, simply because my childhood was very, very difficult. And so I realized that I could mess myself up as much as I can, you know, but I could not do that to a child ever. So I have a thing about children. Just don't mess them up. But when I started to read his interview, and no, it didn't change my feeling about her, but he had been saying things, and I realized that I knew nothing about Casey Anthony, really, except for what they said in clips and things like that. And I realized I knew next to nothing about it, which was fine with me. And I'm not going to really even bother with the details. We're going to have him actually on this show. And yes, it's a major departure from what I do. And guys, I know you know that I am not into sensationalism whatsoever. In fact, I think you know I'm quite the opposite. But we're doing it because of denial. And that's what I want to talk about. It's forgiving. It's denial. And this is where I'm going with everything. What I need to say is this, that when I started to read the interview, the report, what he had, you know, uncovered, there were a lot of things that we never heard in that trial. And I began to think back to that one clip of the parents and her when she's in jail and the strange responses of everyone, her parents. And this is just me, the way the parents seem to kind of be almost reacting as if they were acting. That was my very quick feeling. Now, of course, Casey was like this narcissistic, crazy, almost, we're all going to say baby killer. Yes, I know. That's exactly what she looked like. Spoiled, narcissistic, crazy, child killer. And then, and this is not now, this was then when I saw it, something hit me and I shut down and I shut down. And I know now what it was. Her eyes said, "You made me this way. You fix it. You did it. You fix it." And that's what hit home for me. And that was real. And that was what probably kept me from ever reading anything about her before and since. Because I was that girl. No, I never killed anyone. No, I told you, I wouldn't even bring a baby into this world until I knew that I was adult. I mean, more than an adult. I mean, I was like a middle-aged woman by the time I did it. And I was in a very stable marriage. And I wouldn't. But I was a girl who was raised in abuse. And the abuse was insidious and it was denied. And I've always known that. And I've been told by friends and professionals, and people always said that I had behaved and run and acted like a very abused child. And I discuss that, but no, I don't, because it's denial. We face certain parts of our upbringing and the certain parts that we don't even remember them. Sometimes we can't access them, but they remain in our psyche, in our heart, and on our physical body. And then this is what we grow up on. And it's like a twisted branch with broken flowers. And that's how we grow up. We have to forgive everyone for everything. We can't afford to keep it in our body. We can't. Because every single time we forgive something for someone, we heal like a cell in our body. We do. I can't explain that to you until you start to do it. And what happens is this. Things start to happen one right after the other. What happened was that a week later, after both of those things happened, there was a something going on in my life, and I started to, something really big happened to me, and I started to, it was one of those things that might have you know, broken somebody else because it was a very pretty big thing in my life. And I think in the beginning, it did. It really did. It was a extremely painful issue. And at first, it brought up every horrible, negative feeling and emotion I could possibly feel. It was horrible. And then, as each kind of emotion hit me, of anger and misery, and I wanted to kill, and I wanted to punish, and I wanted to do everything, all of a sudden, it broke. And I woke up screaming in my head, forgive everyone, everything. And I kept saying it, 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 until I started to cry. And then everything changed. Everything changed. Everything changed. Because I made the connections. I made the connections that happened to me in my childhood that literally corresponded right now to me now. Everything. That everything that happened to me as a child happens to me right now. That did I make it happen to me now? Well, maybe. Because I can't make what other people do, right? No, I can't. Could I have absolutely been on the same wavelength with someone who wanted to do that? Sure, absolutely. Did we contract that together? Absolutely. Did I do it to punish myself? Of course not. Did they do that to punish me? Of course not. Well, then why did I do it? Well, I know why. To forgive. To forgive everyone for everything. Why? To get the sickness out of me. Because I was diseased. Okay, you're saying, isn't that a little strong? No, it's not. In fact, I think I'm underplaying it. To carry stuff around like that, and even though I've worked on it for so many years, it is still in me. Because there are levels and there are frequencies, and I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that very soon. Because this is going to change so quickly that it's going to be a split second. I have always known that, you know, the masters, when they say they get it in that moment, that second, that blinding moment, I have always known, I knew that at 19, that one day there was going to be this moment, this golden moment. I even thought that one day I was going to get that moment. But the whole world was going to get it, actually. I'm really an idealist. I thought that we were going to be like, you know, the whole world. I didn't have a date or anything like that. I was just 19, and I thought we were going to be like the whole world, you know. And I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew that, like, the whole world was going to get that one conscious, like super conscious moment where we were all going to know we were connected under one mind, and we were all going to remember all of our past lives simultaneously, and we were all going to know that we were all the same immediately, and boom, it was going to happen. So it still might, but I'm running out of time, so I don't know. But I felt for me, it was definitely going to happen one day. And, you know, I'm getting a little old here, so it's not happening and stuff like that. So I thought that, okay, you know what? It's happening for you, definitely. But it's like, you know, one step here, one step here, one step here. And there are definitely times when I've gotten it. Yeah, I'd say like that kind of amazing moment. Yeah, like 35 times it's happened. But then, you know, I kind of always go back and then I go back. And then sometimes like I'll go back. You know, back. And especially the last few years, it's been really back. And the last 2 weeks, when it should have been the worst, it's been the greatest. So what happened? What happened to me when it should have been the worst? Well, I'll tell you. I had my magic moment. Because I had to because it could have been my lowest moment. And trust me, I've had low moments. You can't have cancer. You can't have your sister die. You can't have all those things happen at once and not have bad moments. But this was bad because it would have been, and believe me, this is not rock bottom at all. But it would have been that the things that I had put the most heart and love into could have been, I could have looked at it as the worst betrayal and losing what I had held close most, really. But I didn't. I chose to look at it with love. I chose to look at this with the deepest love and devotion as if it was done for me. As if it was done for me. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you this because this is what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to live in our own book. Let me explain that for you. We're here to play. Literally play. You know that whole thing with, and I'm not a Bible person. I really don't know the Bible. I'm not religious. You know that. We are, but everyone says that. Everyone says we're here to play. And you know that thing, you know, until I think I have a needle and then there's a child in there somewhere. I know I'm desecrating it. I know. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But we are supposed to be literally and symbolically as a child. Do you remember being a kid? Do you remember when you were a child and your imagination was so strong that whatever you were imagining, you were literally that thing? You know, you were that person. You were a cowboy, you were a fireman, you were a ballet dancer, you were a teacher, you whatever you were, mommy, Barbie, you couldn't get out of it. You know, you were in it. I used to be so in it. I couldn't get out of it for days. I used to be playing Barbie and I'd have to go to bed. I would put the Barbie down. I'd hit the bed. I'd wake up. I'd go back to playing Barbie. That's what I did for days, days and days. So that's, or Captain Action with my friend Chrissy. That's what we would do. Captain Action all day long. So this is like what we're supposed to do. Put yourself in the middle of your playbook, literally. Okay? And don't go to the beginning of the playbook. Don't go to the end because literally there is no beginning. There is no end. We're always in the middle. Don't worry about how to get to that thing you want to be. Be it. Be it in your head. I'm not saying don't live your normal life. Of course, live your normal life. Do what you're doing anyway. But there's no one in charge of your head. Do you understand that? There's no one in charge of what you think. No one. No one out there has control of your head. If you're miserable because of a breakup, okay, and your boyfriend's name is Don. Hi, Don. Don's our owner and producer, so he knows. He knows. I don't mean him, really. But your boyfriend's name is Don, and Don has just broken up with you. I'm going to give you This is also about frequency, okay? This is the whole ball of wax right here. And I know I'm mixing stuff up and I'm, you know, all over the place. But I'll get everything I want to say in, okay? Here it is. Don broke up with you. You're like, you're ready to die. I'm going to give you a whole scenario right here. This is how it all is. This is what the masters know. Forget about everything with the, now everybody has their own way. Absolutely. But here's why there are so many books. Here's why so many people have 1 to 10 steps, 40 to 7, you know, steps, all of that. This is why so many of the masters have so many books out. It's not that they need to make money. It's not that they're greedy. It's not that they like to talk a lot. It's that we demand they keep telling us what they've already told us. They've done it. They told us. They got it out. This is us. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. Tell me more. I don't get it. What do you mean? We don't get it. They do. So, Don just broke up with me. I am, let's see, we've been going out for 5 years. I am now 33. And I've been expecting him. Okay, no, he hasn't broken up with me yet, all right? I have been expecting a ring because we've been going out for 5 years. And we both live in a small town. And so everybody's expecting him to ask me, right, to get married. So it's December and I'm expecting it on the 25th. And he says, hey, Jane, let's go out to dinner. And I'm like excited. We go out to dinner and he looks nervous and I'm excited because I think nervous is good for him because, you know, he's going to do it. And so we sit down and whatever. And he really now looks nervous, but he doesn't look happy. So I'm like, uh-oh, that doesn't look good. And he said, look, Jane, I know that you want to get married and, you know, I just thought about it. I don't really want kids. And I'm like, my heart just dropped. I feel like I'm going to die, really. And I'm like, what do you mean? Why didn't you tell me any of this? Why didn't you talk about this? Why didn't we discuss this? You know I want kids. And, you know, all of this goes on. And he said, because I didn't know and I didn't, you know, I didn't, whatever. And now I'm telling you, this is, forget about Jane and Don are there. Now, Don, by the way, is an insurance adjuster and, you know, it's a nice job, but it's a kind of mid-level job. And, you know, I am working in a little journalist, you know, a little newspaper, the town newspaper. But my secret dream is to write a book. Now, not too many people know that, but that's my secret dream. But anyway, so we're leaving them there. They're having dinner and they're really arguing it out. Jane starts crying. Now, forget them. This is me. This is Adina, okay? I'm telling you that I know, basically, that Don has a secret agenda. Why do I know that? Because I'm a psychic. That's all. I'm just telling you that. I know that he has a secret agenda because people just don't out of the blue just kind of say, you know, I don't want kids. 5 years down the road, uh-uh. I know there's something else going on there. Let's go back. So anyway, he finishes it up and she's hysterical. She feels betrayed. She is miserable. And, you know, it's bitter. It's a pretty bitter breakup. Anyway, they break up. She goes back. What happens is she can't stand being in the small town anymore because she just can't. Why? Because within about 4 months, he ends up dating Mary, who is a kindergarten teacher, but they all went to school together, right? Also, Don had dated Mary, before he had gone out with Jane. And he always wanted to go back to Mary, but no one ever knew that, really. I did. Why? Because I'm a psychic. That's right. So anyway, what happens is Jane leaves and she says, I've got to get out of here. She goes to another town and she ends up going to work at a station, and they give her a job working as like the, I don't know, some kind of like weekend announcer, but not on air. It's something really weird. And then she ends up somehow meeting someone who gets her a job at a publishing company where she becomes an editor who ends up writing her own book. And yeah, you got it. She becomes famous and she becomes someone who she was supposed to be. Ta-da! Now, this is called frequency. This is called living in your own playbook. Do you understand where I'm going? I hope so. Because this is why when people come in and out of our lives, we've got to understand that sometimes they're doing this with our knowledge. We don't remember. We don't know that. But we did. We did know that. Think of us. Think of all of us. Close your eyes and think of like a velvet darkness. Because that's exactly what it is. That's what I know. That's what I remember. When I was in it, when I was told that I was going to die, oh, yeah, that doesn't sound right, but that's exactly what happened. When I was told that I was going to die, it was my, I guess, pre-near-death experience. When it happened for me, and I had no idea I was going to do it, but it just happened. It was like a velvet darkness, and it was breathing, and it was alive. And yeah, I have to tell you something just now. It was forgiveness. You know why? Because there was no time. There was no time, just like I just said before. No beginning, no end. No beginning, no end. There was no time. And when this man came to me and he said, and he showed me the pictures, and I said, I won't. He forgave me. And he said, forgive. He did. And I said, no, I won't. He showed me the pictures. The velvet is alive. I want you to picture this velvet, this breathing, dark, beautiful velvet that feeds us, that feeds ourselves. It's our cells. It's everybody's traveling along this velvet. And it's our own melodies. We all have our own melodies. We all have our own, you know, our music, our waves, our frequencies. That's us. And we belong on different ones. We don't belong on the same ones all the time. I have been where I am for a number of years. I have often thought that I've had many illnesses, by the way, for many years here. Why? Because I believe I always knew this, and this is very interesting. I always knew that many of the reasons that I had several illnesses for about 15 years here was because I knew two reasons. Number one, in one way, it kept me where I was because I had contracted and made promises to do something I had committed to do and my heart had chosen to do. And with all my heart, I would change nothing. I am proud with all my heart that I have done what I wanted to do for so many reasons, not just one, but I have done in every way. I have done what I wanted to do in work, in my life, in my personal life. I've done what I wanted to do. Not only did the illnesses keep me doing what I, because I had to, I couldn't have gone anywhere because of the illnesses. So number one, it kept me doing what I had to do. And two, I also feel that some of the work I had done contributed to it. Plus, and that's interesting too, plus the fact that I don't think I belonged on the frequency. And I know that's really weird for you to kind of like understand, but I don't think this frequency was meant for me. It was a lower frequency. And that's hard for people to understand. But let me go back, by the way, to Don. Yeah. Don, as we know, Jane ended up being, you know, somebody on a high frequency. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying to you that she's on a higher level. I'm not saying she's more evolved. I'm not saying anything like that. As a matter of fact, there are some pretty idiotic people who, I was going to say something that was very, I'm not going to go there. Let's just say this. Famous does not mean you are evolved. We know that, okay? I'm just saying that Jane's frequency or, her waves, they were on a different level, period, end of story. Don's frequency was lower. His playbook, his color playbook was to stay in the town that he had been in all his life. And yeah, he married Mary and she was the kindergarten teacher and he was the insurance adjuster. He stayed within that level. They both lived in the house that he had been living in anyway. And that's where they stayed. Oh, and by the way, he had kids. Yeah, we knew that, right? So that was it. That was where he wanted to be. That was his frequency. That was not supposed to be Jane's. Sure, she was heartbroken, but that was not what she had been. She, by the way, was madly in love for the rest of her life with her husband, and that's the way it was supposed to be. So that's why I say what I say. And no, it has nothing to do with higher level, lower level, you know, anything like that. Sometimes, and I learned this a very, very long time ago. I'm sure I attribute everything I've ever learned. I always say that it's I learned it from Jane Roberts and Seth, everything. Like that's what I always say, and I'm sure it's not. But I'm sure that Seth didn't say frequency. I'm sure he said multidimensional self because that's how he always said it. But I think he said it as that sometimes, no, I don't even think this was from Jane Roberts, but sometimes someone will know before we do that we're getting ready to go. I don't know how, it doesn't matter. Or sometimes we've contracted that. Oh, I'm going to cry right now. I'm going to cry. Here I go. This is every show. Do you know that? Every single show, I cry. I don't really like that very much. But in fact, I was going to say something. One of the things about mediumship and I is that when I do mediumship, they come into me and I have to tell you about one of the first things I ever did. Okay, not now. Anyway, so I cry so easily when I am coming from my heart all the time. So, okay, here we go. So what happens is someone will know that that you're getting ready to go to a higher frequency. Okay, here we go. And so you can go, knowing that you might be the one who couldn't go, who would have the hard time leaving, who would be the one who would look back over and over and over again and say, I can't go, I can't leave, or I can't move on, I have to take you, or whatever it would be. They will be the one to go, or they will be the one to, I guess, make you mad enough or do something to go. Or they'll slowly, slowly leave your life. Or they'll leave your life in a big bang. Or, you know, they'll do something. That happens all the time. It does. You know how you're moving and, or, you know, something like that. And rather than, you know, say goodbye to your best friend, you'll have this like big blowout. It happens all the time. So you guys can end in a fight and you don't have to cry and everything like that. That happens all the time. It happens with people who are getting ready to really move on to different stages. And so that happens too. And that's why, you know, you see things like this all over, you know, don't chase after someone who's left your life. God might be doing you a favor, you know, things like that. I don't like things that say things like that because, again, it has such a negative connotation. Get that out of your lexicon. Let it go. Let it go. You know what? I'm guilty of that stuff too. I'm never going to do anything like that again. That's gone. That's gone from my life, my words. I don't want to speak like that again. And I'm not going to. It's not about that again. It's not about you hurt me. It's not about God did me a favor. You know, it's not about that anymore. It's about thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for loving me enough. Oh, I'm going to cry. I am going to cry. I am. It's just about thank you for showing me a part of me that hadn't healed yet. If you hurt me, I have hurt. Because, okay, if you came up to me and said to me, Adina, I can't stand your red hair, I'd say, oh, okay. Why? You'll tell me why, and I'll say, oh, all right, I'm sorry. It's not going to hurt me. Why would it hurt me? I don't have any feelings about my red hair. Why? Well, number one, it's right now. I don't know. It's not bright red. It's whatever. And I like it. So why would it hurt me? It wouldn't. Now, if you came up to me and said, Adina, I hate your reading. Well, yeah, it would hurt me. I'd ask you why. And if I could change that, or I mean, if not my reading, I couldn't do that. But if I could help you, you know, with trying to, you know, give you a reading, like a clarification of what I did, then I would be very happy to do it. You understand what I'm saying. But if you came up and said, I think you are a rotten person, no, that wouldn't hurt me. You know what I'm trying to say to you. This is what this is all about. It's really that we are here for each other to get everything that hurts us out so that we become happier people. Now you're going to ask me, well, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to, you know, come and get everything out of here? Why do we have to go through all of this? Why do we have to go through all of these hurts, all of these things, and do this? I don't know. I don't know. And guess what? I don't care. I have spent, I'm not going to tell you how old I am. I have spent so many decades thinking about why. I don't know. I don't know. I don't care. I do know this. I know that I know I'm not going to do it anymore. I know that my happiness depends on not doing it. If I want to be where I want to be, I've got to stop thinking about the thing I don't want. The thing I don't want is now two levels lower. And I am here. I'm where the thing I want is. I want you to listen. The thing I want is up and happy. Happy is the thing I want. Listen again. You're a kid. You're a kid. Okay? You're a kid. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? I want to be, I want to be, I want to be, I don't know, I want to be, I want to be, I want to be, I don't know, I want to be, I want to be, I'm thinking, I'm thinking, I'm thinking, I don't know, I want to be a, I don't know, think of something you want to be, okay? You have got to get a new job, okay? Whatever it is, you want to get a new job. All you have to do is think about what you feel on the new job. That's it. You don't have to go to the top of the stratosphere. Just think of the feeling of the new job. Sit there. Sit there in your head feeling better than the job you have while you're doing your job. That's it. Feel while you're doing your job right now, right where you are, you're feeling better. You're on your new job. That's it. That's all you have to do, okay? That's it. Go up. That's all you have to do. That's it. It doesn't matter. That's all you have to do. You and your creator are doing this together because you, in your own hands, always mess it up, right? Because I do. Now, this is not religion. Again, this is not religion. It could be evolution, Zeus, God, Zeno, that guy from Scientology. It doesn't matter. That's what you take. It doesn't matter. You and something else. That's all you have to do. You don't have to be perfect. That's not the point. You're just going to do that. You're going to have a new kind of vitality. You're going to find that you're going to do things differently. You're going to find that every time you do that, you are going to find yourself at that new job. I promise you. It's not going to take that long. Why? Because you're not going to allow yourself to let anything negative come in. You're not going to allow, don't even allow it. You can't afford it. You can no longer afford, I can't, you can no longer afford allow yourself to think, how can I get there? How am I going to get there? Who do I call? What do I do? I tried this last year. It didn't work. No, this is what you do. I'm at the new job. I'm at the new job. Oh my God, this is so fun. I love that guy. He's really cute. That's it. That's all you do. Imagine you're there, you're there, you're there, you're there. Don't imagine how. That's it. Okay. You don't want a new job. You want more money. Okay. Do not think of how to get the money. Don't think of where it's coming from. That's the last thing to think of. That's the last thing. What you think of is you've got the money. You just got the money. Think of who you're giving it to. Think of what you're spending it on. And don't even bother. You know, there are all these systems, like I used to get it sent to me and in a check form, you know, online. And then I would have to write it down and I would have to put down where I spent it and things like that. That created a lot of work for me. And every time I had to do that, it was like a chore and I hated it. And I couldn't do it. And there were these like different sums and stuff like that. It created a lot of problems for me. Imagine that. Fake money created problems for me. Don't do it. You want money? Give yourself money in your head and don't even do that. As a matter of fact, make yourself buying stuff and just say, oh my God, I'm wearing this. Oh my God. Picture yourself using the money. That's it. And make it fun. That's it. Don't imagine anything else. That's it. The next thing you know, you're feeling good. You know when people talk about your bliss? Get rid of the catchphrases. Get rid of the those new age phrases if they don't mean anything to you. Because frankly, I'll tell you the truth, they mean nothing to me. I don't even get that stuff. I really don't. I don't like it. I don't get it. It's trendy. I'm not trendy. I'm just a person. So what I do is I'm just me. I just act like me and I just think like me. And all I'm doing now is, number one, every time I'm negative, I go, I forgive everyone for everything. I do. No one wants to hurt me. And frankly, if they do, I have to bring this up. This is important. You know when, you know that saying when they say that having resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die? I have news for everyone. And they say that, you know, we're the only person that gets affected by it. That's actually not true. That's not true. Because when we hold resentment to someone for a long time, or for even if it's for a short time, but it's very vitriolic, and we've got a lot of resentment to them, and we're bombing them and bombing them and bombing them with, like, you know, really wicked stuff, they do feel it. Oh, yeah. We all feel how people feel about us underneath it. Don't even think for a minute that you're getting away with just slamming someone with your negative stuff and you think, oh, they don't know. Or you're walking around and gossiping about them and telling people about them and no one knows about that. They know. What happens is, what's going to happen is, number one, you'll get over it. Believe me, you'll get over it, right? And you'll stop, and you'll have gotten it all out on them, right? And so, like, 3 months later, you'll be walking up somewhere, and you'll go, oh, hi, Jane. I don't know what I have against Jane. In fact, I do know a Jane, and she's lovely, two of them. So anyway, sorry, Janes. So, you know, you'll walk up, and you'll say, hey, Jane, what's up? And Jane's going to turn around out of nowhere, and she's going to say, what the hell do you care? And boom, 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 boom. And you're going to be like, what was that for? And you're going to feel like such a victim. And you're not a victim, are you? So that's number one. Then you're going to, of course, feel like a victim. And then you're going to going back and telling people, gee, you know what, Jane, it's me out of nowhere. I can't believe it. Well, she didn't do it out of nowhere, did she? And here goes the vicious cycle. So don't do it. Don't do it. That's how this works. Stop. Somebody's got to stop it. So, yeah, they do get it. We all do get it. This is what is meant by do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. This is what is meant by we or whenever we do something to someone else, we do it to ourselves. Because every time we say something to someone else, there's like triple meaning in everything. Because it's not like they're not saying that figuratively. They mean it. When we slam a friend, a relative, a person, they get it. They give it back. We get it. We give it back. Boom, boom, boom. That's what it is. We just keep giving it back and giving it back and getting it and giving it back. We've got to stop it. We've got to stop it. It's got to be somewhere. It's got to end somewhere. We have to remind ourselves that we are here for one reason. The one reason is to create. Why? I don't know. And it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. We are here to create, and it's up to us what we want to create. For me, I created a lot of sadness, a lot of emotional difficulty. I mean, did I know it? No, of course not. I mean, I knew I came into a life that a lot of it was certainly not made by me. Of course not. I was a little kid and I had to deal with it. It was given to me. But there did come a time when I could have made some, you know, a lot of it so much easier. It came when it was supposed to. And it's going to end just the way I want it to. And that's my choice. So I'm saying to you, you are going to have tragedy. You will have sickness. You will have nice people. You will have some very not nice people. So what? Big deal. There'll be resources. There'll be friends. There'll be love. You can always ask and you will always be able to receive. Do that. Ask, pray, honey, you're always going to have what you need if you ask and you're willing to like receive what you can. No, you're not going to be perfect. Your life's not going to be perfect, but that's not the point. I guarantee though, if you do that, your life is going to be on a completely different plane than you could ever have imagined. And that's all that matters. And I don't mean the way it sounds. I don't mean the kind of plane that's totally not realistic. Because so much of the stuff that goes around today, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, is ridiculous. It's ridiculous and no one achieves it. That's it. I want you to achieve something truthful. So I want to thank you for today and to tell you that we have definitely two amazing weeks coming up. And I'll see you next week answering your questions. It's a week for you next week. I love you and have a great week.